Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I want to talk to you today about managing your emotions. We all have emotions. They're good things, but we got to manage them. So let me talk to you about that. I want to read to you a scripture from the book of Genesis, chapter 25. Once when Jacob was boiling some stew or pottage, Esau, his brother, came in from the field and he was famished. And Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red pottage, for I am starving." Jacob said, "First, sell me your birthright." And Esau said, "I'm about to die. What use is a birthright to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore to him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he ate and he drank, and he rose and he went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I heard the story about this man. It was a beautiful day, and he hooked his wagon up to his favorite mule, and he put his dog on the wagon, and off they went, you know, clippity-clopping down the road, just having a good time. And as he's going, they came upon a corner. He was enjoying life and came upon a corner. All of a sudden, this big old white Cadillac comes roaring around the corner. And I mean, the wagon went flying, the man went flying, the dog went flying, the mule went flying, everything went flying. And next thing you know, the police come up to the scene. Then a little while later, this man is standing before a judge suing the owner of the white Cadillac. The judge looks at the deposition. He goes, "Sir," he says, "I don't understand why you're suing the owner of this Cadillac. It says right here in the deposition, at the moment of the accident, you were quoted as saying, 'I've never felt better in my life.' What's going on?" And the man said, "Well, officer, it's kind of a long story, but I got to tell you, I was out enjoying life and hooked to the wagon and had my mule and my dog and just enjoying life. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, this big old white Cadillac comes roaring around the corner. I mean, everything went flying. I went flying. The wagon went flying. My mule went flying. The dog went flying. And, you know, the dog got pinned underneath the wagon. The mule was pinned underneath. Next thing you know, the police came up to the scene, and the officer gets out of the car, and he goes over to where my dog was. My dog had a broken back. He could see he was yelping and crying, and the officer did the merciful thing, I guess. He pulled out his revolver and shot my dog right in the head, put him out of his misery. And he went a little bit further where the mule was, and the mule was yelping and bleeding and everything and really suffering. You know what the officer did? He pulled out his revolver, shot the mule right in the head. Then he went a little bit further to where I was, and I was pinned underneath the wagon, and he looked at me and he goes, "Old timer, how you feeling?" And I said, "I ain't never felt better in my life." So I want to tell you that, I want to ask you actually, how are you feeling today? You know, we all have different emotions. And emotions I want to describe as something, it's an energy, it's a force that comes out of us. That's what emotions are. And there's all kinds of different feelings that we have. We can feel fine, we can feel good, we can feel sad, we can feel distressed, we can feel depressed, we can feel lonely, we can feel angry. There's all kinds of different feelings, and everybody has feelings. And I want to help you to recognize your feelings and to manage them. And I want to tell you one thing. Feelings are not necessarily bad. Feelings are human, they're good. Everybody has them. They can really give you an uplift, an emotion. But feelings can also be deceptive, and they can betray you. For example, we just had this story from the book of Genesis about Jacob and Esau. And Jacob, of course, was cooking some soup, and Esau comes in from the field. Now, Esau was the firstborn, so he had the birthright. And Jacob was kind of a trickster. And so what happened was when Esau came in, and he was really hungry. Jacob took advantage of what was going on in Esau. Esau felt hunger. He lusted for that stew. And so Jacob said to him, sell me your birthright and I'll give you something to eat. He says, what good is my birthright? Give me the food. And do you understand that he sold his birthright because he felt hungry? His birthright. And what I want to tell you is I call that the Esau syndrome. People sell their birthrights because they feel lustful, because they gossip, because they're afraid, because they're angry, because of all kinds of different emotions, just like this. They sell their birthright. You know, you've heard that saying that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I say the road to hell is paved with feelings. Now, feelings are good. We just got to manage them. For example, let's look at anger. You got to be really careful. You got to recognize your anger. That's the number one thing I think I hear in the confessional. People say, Father, I'm so angry. You know, I'm angry at my wife or my spouse or my boss or, you know, myself or life, or people cut me off on the road and get all bent out of shape. Well, anger it's an emotion. It's a frustrating feeling. That an emotion is something that comes out of you. It's an energy. Now, anger is not necessarily bad. It's what you do with your anger that matters. That's why the Bible says, be angry, but sin not. You know what that means? You can feel the emotion of anger, but don't let it bring you to sin. And one of the places that I encounter anger and frustration, of course, is those of you who know me, I love to play golf. And, you know, golf is a very perfectionistic game, and one of the reasons why people get angry is because life isn't perfect, and we're not perfect. And, you know, I'll go to the golf course, and what you got to do is you got to get a little ball in a little hole about 500 yards away in as few strokes as possible. And, you know, there are obstacles in between, and if things don't always work out, it can bring a lot of anger. Well, let me just say that sometimes I go to the golf course, a public golf course, and nobody knows who I am, and I'm dressed in shorts and a t-shirt, or, you know, just looking like the average person. And, you know, we'll tee it up on the first hole, just meet some guys, you know, you play golf in a foursome, and, you know, shake their hands and tell them your name. And, you know, you hit the ball off the first tee, and usually it goes pretty good. And then after about the second or third hole, this starts to slice, and it starts to hook, and maybe it goes in the water or goes in the trees. And then the true emotions start flailing forth, if you will, and, you know, the bag starts getting kicked and clubs start flying. Of course, not me, the guys I'm playing with. And then you start hearing GD this and GD that and Jesus this and Jesus that. And I'm thinking, these guys are praying more than I do. Well, anyway, we get over to about the ninth hole. And we've talked about weather. We've talked about sports. We've talked about the politics. We've talked about the different things that are going on in life. And finally, you know, the conversation's going to get a little deeper. Inevitably, one of the guys will turn to me and say, hey, by the way, Cedric, what do you do for a living? Thought you'd never ask that. And I tell him I'm a Catholic priest, and you can always tell the Catholics in the crowd, they're the ones that turn red when you tell them that because they've been throwing the clubs and swearing. And the truth is that, you know, we all get angry, but you got to manage your emotions. You know, when I first started playing golf, I used to throw clubs, and I used to swear. And I used to get all bent out of shape. But then I realized, I said, you know, this is stupid. It's a bad witness. I'm not going to be swearing in front of people, claiming to be a disciple of Jesus. You know, and I began to grow and not get so bent out of shape all the time and enough that I would break a club or something like that. So, you know, when it comes to your emotion of anger, it's okay to be angry. Just don't let it control you. Don't let it dominate your life. You have to recognize that you're angry, take a deep breath. You know, sometimes I'll actually see myself throwing a club in my mind, and I'll go, no, I don't want to do that. Just relax, calm down, take it easy. It's the same way when you go to a store, for example. You know, emotions get churned up. You see the sale sign, this big red sale sign, and you look and you go, wow, you know, you're looking at it, and all of a sudden your emotions, you want to buy that thing. You know, look at it, it's 60% off. And you know, I heard a saying one time that I really like. It's this: let your emotions subside, then decide. So in other words, what you do is, well, when you're right there and you see the 60% off sale sign and all of a sudden you really want to have it, you got to have it, take a little walk. Go to somewhere else in the mall. Let things simmer down a little bit. And then, do you really want to buy that? See, don't let your emotions control your life. Let your emotions subside, then decide. Whenever I'm going through a stressful period or an angry period or things are all churned up in me and I'll start thinking about my ministry and trying to make decisions and different things, I say, wait a minute, don't make a decision right now, not when your emotions are all churned up. Let your emotions subside, then decide. So don't let your emotions control you. Like I said, it can be the downfall of your life. Esau sold his birthright because of his desire for soup. And it's the same way. That to me is a metaphor for all of life. Think about the Adam and Eve story, for example. You know, they saw the tree and that it was good and they desired it. You know, that it would be good for them. And what they did is they sold their birth. They fell from God because of a desire, because of an emotion, when they knew that it was wrong. That's the original sin, and it's the sin that keeps happening today. Well, let's look at this whole thing about desire and lust and talk a little bit about that. Maybe you heard this story. One time I was preaching in Los Angeles, and I was preaching in a large parish there, and a bunch of masses on the weekend, probably five or six masses, and you know, I'm always hungry. My metabolism is such that, you know, maybe I'm like Esau, you know, I always want to eat. And I remember I was right in between masses. I had already preached a couple masses on Sunday, and it wasn't lunchtime yet. And I just went into the kitchen to look for a cookie or something to tide me over to lunch. And as I'm in there in the kitchen, in walks this priest who I hadn't met. He was the older priest, and I hadn't met him yet. And he extends his hand, "Hey, you must be Father Cedric." I go, "Yeah, hey, nice to meet you." And he goes, "Wow, you're a young guy." This was like 15 years ago. He goes, "You're a young priest." He said, "How'd you like to go on a cruise?" I said, "A cruise? What are you talking about, you know?" And he said, "Well, I'm the head chaplain for all the cruise lines here on the West Coast." And he said, "I'm the one who assigns the priests on these cruise ships." He says, "You're a young guy." He said, "People would love you. Where would you like to go?" And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. I came in here for a cookie, and he's offering me a cruise. And I thought, well, you know, I grew up in Massachusetts, and I've always heard about Alaska. I've never been there. I said, "I'd like to go to Alaska." And I kind of smiled, never, ever thinking it would happen. Well, get this. A year later, yours truly, all expenses paid, is a chaplain on a cruise ship to Alaska. And all I had to do is once a day, preside at Mass. And basically, that was it. And then I had the rest of the day to myself. I could eat with the guests. I could dance. I could go to they had all kinds of plays and different musicals and different things like that. I could do anything I wanted. Well, anyway, make a long story short, one day I was presiding at Mass, and I just finished, went back to my room, just a little teeny room they give you. I go back to my room. All of a sudden, I hear at my door, and I open the door. In barges this man. He comes into my room, and he starts pacing back and forth, back and forth. You know, the room wasn't that big. And he said, "I know who you are." He goes, "I know you're the priest on board." He said, "I've seen you walking around with your collar." He says, "This isn't confession, but I got to tell you something." He said, I am in the midst of an adulterous relationship, and he says, "It's tearing me up." And I says, "Well, sir, why don't you just have a seat?" He goes, "No, I don't want to have a seat." He said, "I just had to get that off my chest." And then out he went, slammed the door, never saw him again. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, that poor man. See, what he was so tormented, he was so upset. And what it was this. At some point in his life, he got lured by his desire of lust for another woman when he knew he shouldn't have. And then he got captured by his emotions. So here he is on this cruise to Alaska when you should be enjoying, you know, the whales and the eagles and all the beauty and the food and the music and the dancing. You should be having the time of your life. And inside, he's racked with torment because he allowed his emotions to rule him. Remember what I said, the road to hell isn't paved with good intentions, it's paved with emotions and letting your emotions rule you. You see, you got to make good decisions. And I talk to people in different parishes that I go to about adultery. know, good people who are married, who are faithful, who love God, who get tempted. And they all say this, I wasn't looking for this, it just kind of happened. That person began to pay attention to me. That person made me feel good, there it is, made me feel good about myself. They were giving me what my husband or what my wife wasn't giving me. I remember I was sitting with a woman recently and just talking with her about it, and she came to me because she wanted to talk about this adulterous relationship, and she wanted some help, and I explained to her how she's separating herself from God, and she knew that, but she just kept talking about how good it felt and how her feelings were keeping them together and how she wanted to be away from him but couldn't do it. And what she needed to do was make a good decision and to somehow get away from that person little by little by little. And it could happen. She wanted to do it, but her emotions were ruling her life. I remember I heard a song on the radio one time. It was called Real Emotions. And the song kept saying over and over, lose yourself in your emotions. Let your emotions lead you. Let your emotions guide you. If you let your emotions lead you and guide you, they'll kill you. Now, they're good. Emotions are beautiful. But remember, they can be your downfall. Please understand. Speaking of downfalls, I think one of the saddest stories in the New Testament is the story of King Herod. And if you remember correctly, John the Baptist was talking about this whole lustful relationship that he had with his brother's wife. And John the Baptist spoke out. Jesus called him the greatest of prophets. And he spoke out about this adulterous relationship. Nobody else would, not to King Herod. But John had the guts to tell the truth. And so, even though Herod liked to listen to him, he threw him into prison because the woman he's committing adultery with hated John, Herodias. And so they throw him into prison, and one night, as you know, Herod's birthday, they had this big dance. And Herodias' daughter, Salome, did this beautiful, seductive, sexy dance. And I mean, Herod got thrown into a tizzy. All kinds of emotions of desire and lust and, you know, the whole thing, the party spirit that is antithetical to God. And then in the throes of emotions, he makes this vow to Salome. Anything you want, half of my kingdom, I'll give it to you. You just ask. You know, he's all caught up in his emotions. Remember what I said about emotions, how dangerous they are. And then, of course, as you know the story, her mother asked for the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Now get this. Sadly, the greatest prophet that ever lived was beheaded and his head presented in front of all those people on a platter because the king was not able to control his emotions. I think that is one of the saddest stories in the New Testament, and it's so tragic. So do you see the power that emotion has? Now, another king, Jesus, had control of his emotions. That's why we call him Master. You know, they have the Master Golf Tournament, the Masters. And that's the one who wins it is the one who can master their emotions, hit the correct shots, and win the tournament. We call him the Master. Well, we call Jesus Master. That's one of my favorite terms for Jesus because he didn't allow his emotions to control him. He had control over his anger, over lust, over gossip. He didn't sin. He didn't allow emotions to lead him into sin. Remember what he taught? He said, turn the other cheek. If somebody hits you, offer the other one also. How do you do that? Well, when somebody hits you, you'd be going, ah! You'd be all crazy. Well, not Jesus, because he lived that way. When he was struck, he didn't retort. He didn't hit back. He didn't say a word. Like a lamb led to slaughter, he answered not his torturers. You know, so that's the beautiful part about Jesus. That's the beautiful character of Jesus. His ability to control his emotions. And that's what we are all invited to be Christ-like. And then I think about fear. You know, I've already talked to you about anger. I've talked to you about lust. These are common emotions that everybody has. Well, what about fear? I remember it was back a few years ago. our former Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, the theme of his pontificate was, be not afraid. That's all over the place in the Bible. Be not afraid. You know why? Because fear and emotion dominates people's lives. It ruins destinies. And it almost stole mine because I suffered panic attacks and I was afraid and nervous of going before people. And what it does is it'll keep you in a little teeny, itty, bitty, teeny, weeny, itsy, bitsy box when really you are called to passion. You are called to destiny. You are called to impact people. But if you let fear dominate your life, nothing's ever going to happen. I remember I went to St. Peter's in Rome. In St. Peter's Basilica, you see St. Peter, and he's so romanticized and so aggrandized and so almost worshipped. He's venerated as such a great apostle. But it's interesting, as you're leaving St. Peter's Basilica, after seeing all these beautiful scenes of St. Peter, on the way out, the vestibule, if you look up, many people miss this. This is the great basilica dedicated to Jesus, of course, but also St. Peter. As you look up, there's that scene where Peter is actually walking on the water. He got out of the boat in faith, and as he's walking on the water, he began to look around at the storm, and he started to get afraid. And his emotions caused him to sink. And it's that moment where he's sinking, and he's crying out in fear, saying, Lord, help me, and Jesus is reaching and grabs him and saves him. And I like to say that about fear. What it does is, when you step out, and you're trying to do something great, or trying to live your destiny, fear will come against you and it can make you sink. But of course, Jesus always reaches out and grabs you by the hand and he saves us. I remember when I started in ministry and I started to get up and preach in front of people, I kept thinking about the criticism and what they're thinking of me, or do they think I'm dumb, or maybe that I'm not intelligent or something. And I thought inside maybe they'd laugh at me, and I was afraid. Fear is like this. It's an emotion, but it's like this force that comes against you and it tries to hold you down and make you stay in a little box. And I remember when I started to write a book, I was afraid. I was afraid I wasn't going to be able to finish. I was afraid that nobody would read the book. I was afraid that it wouldn't work. And then I pressed through that fear. The emotion came against me and it tried to hold me down, but I didn't stay stuck. Then I remember when I started to produce for TV, I was really afraid that nothing would work there either. Fear came against me. It's this force, it's this energy that comes against me. But what you have to do is, yeah, you feel the fear and it comes against you, but you stand against it. You don't let it dominate you. You don't let it overwhelm you. You don't let it overcome you. You stand against it. So whatever is coming against your life, you have to press through it. And you can press through it and you can go forward. When I watch a golf tournament on TV, Tiger Woods and other people, you know, they show the pro hitting the shot, the drive or the putt or whatever it is, and immediately after they show him hit the shot, especially if it's a bad one, especially if it goes in the water or a sand trap, they immediately focus on his face and they show his reaction, show what they're going to do. And I can tell you that a pro, when he starts getting all bent out of shape emotionally, he begins to lose it. What you have to do when you play golf, and I wrote a book called Golf and God as a Metaphor for Life. When you play golf, you have to stay in control of your emotions. Once you start losing your emotions, you start being defeated. And so I've demonstrated to you many different people. Esau, who got hungry, sold his birthright. Herod, who gave in to lust and killed the greatest prophet that ever lived, John the Baptist. That man on the cruise ship who was caught in adultery because of his emotions. And I talked to you about Peter, who began to sink because of his fear. And I want to tell you, and of course you should know this, that fear and lust and hunger and anger and all the different emotions common to a human being is going to come against you. An emotion's good. Don't let it dominate you. Don't let it overcome you. Don't let it manage your life. You have to manage your emotions. And how do you do that? By decision. By an act of your will. Yes, we have emotions, but we also have choice. And I'm writing a new book called Choose Life and Live. See, I don't always feel like producing for TV, but I choose to produce for TV. I don't always feel like getting up and preaching in front of all these people because I'm afraid, but I choose to preach. I don't always feel like exercising. Most of the times I don't. But I choose to exercise. I don't always feel like smiling. Sometimes I just feel like the blahs. But I choose to smile. And what happens is, if you make an act of your will, you can overcome the anger, the fear, the things in your life that try to hold you down, the ups and the downs. And as Paul said to Timothy, I want to say to you right now, be stable, be calm, cool, and collected. Do not let your emotions lead you astray. You feel your emotions, you're human, but don't let them bring you down. Don't just live. Live with passion.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.